To our renewed series today. Hallelujah. And today we're looking at renewed love. So we're going to go right to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us this morning. And Lord, we commit this time to you. We ask for the Holy Spirit to teach us today and renew our love for you in Jesus' name. So we're going to start out this morning with a scripture in John 10:10. As we've gone through understanding how God renews our spirit, how God renews our purpose, and today how God renews our love, we were just going to look at the scripture in John 10:10, because the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And when you look in the Greek, that word abundantly, one of the meanings for that Greek word is advantage. Jesus came to give you and I the advantage in this life. And the translation, the Passion Translation, says it like this: a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect. Life in its fullness until you overflow. This is a promise from Jesus. He gave his life so we could live. He gave his life so we could experience life more abundantly. Not only in this life, but you know, he gave his life that we can have eternal life. We're alive today because of his love. And you know, he said you'd never die. So how do you figure that out? We'll never die. This body will go back to the grave, but our soul, our spirit is going to live eternally, and we get a new body in heaven. Hallelujah. Yeah, some of you are happy about that. Ready to get rid of those aches and pains. Amen. Amen. So we're excited about why Jesus gave his life for us. And it's because he loved us so much. So once again, week one, we discovered a renewed spirit, that sin causes us to get weighted down. But we can repent and the Lord will renew us and we'll reconnect with God. Without God, there is no life. You're just walking around breathing, but there's no life until you are in Jesus Christ. That's when life really begins. Somebody say amen. And week two, we looked at God wants us to have a renewed purpose because God created us with a plan, and that plan is to do good works. And so he has a better purpose for many of us than we're choosing right now. And today we're looking at renewed love. So when we love something, we get excited about it. We're always eager to talk about it. You like to talk about your passions, the thing you love, the thing you enjoy. And think about the amount of energy and effort people extend towards their sports teams. You know, you all know how much Angela loves the Spartans, right? And probably most of you know the Crooms, they love the Bears. And I don't know who the rest of your sports teams are, but they are just a couple that I know personally. But, you know, when you watch a game on television, you often see all these people all dressed up in jerseys and the team's colors because they're supporting their team. Some of them paint their faces and they wear elaborate costumes because they love their teams. And then there are other things that we love as well. And so just... this will be quick, but I'm just going to invite you to stand if this is something that you really love, that you enjoy, that you have a passion about. How about, well, let's start out with sports. You enjoy sports? Doesn't mean you have to play them. I know a lot of you like to watch them. You're not going to stand. Nobody here likes sports. Oh, Sierra does. Oh, Emma does. Well, look at that. Yeah, Leslie does. Or Liz does. And Jerome, look, did you know Jerome likes sports? Yeah, now you know. And Sue and Elder Ron and Pastor Leonard, he loves to watch football. And is that Faith back there? All right. All right, you can be seated. Leslie, you did stand up. Okay, so next one is NASCAR racing. Who likes NASCAR racing? We got some NASCAR fans in the house. Yes, and Nick too. All right. That's awesome. All right, how about pizza? Who says they love pizza? All right, that got a lot of people to their feet. We'll have to someday find out what pizza that is, right? Or have a pizza party and y'all bring your favorite pizza. Okay, so Cindy needs to sit down. How about fried chicken, Cindy? That's one of Cindy's favorites. Look at this. Look at all the people that like fried chicken. Awesome. Okay. So I just have a few more. I'm getting a big charge out of this. How about Coca-Cola? Who drinks Coca-Cola? All right, so who drinks Pepsi? Let's see if we have more Pepsis than Coca-Cola. How many of us know we shouldn't drink it at all? Hallelujah. Okay, so who would like to go to the beach? Ooh, love the beach. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, look at this. We need to do a cruise or something. Okay, who would like to go to the mountains? Oh, yeah, the mountains. Looky there. They're so beautiful. How about morning coffee? Who's a morning coffee? Look at this. Yes. That's awesome. Morning coffee. All right, who likes to laugh? Do we all like to laugh? Do we all have that in common? Laughter is good for your soul. Yes. Thank you for humoring me this morning. Who likes cats? We have some cat lovers. We do. Looky there. Cat lovers. And then do we have some dog lovers? Just a few of us. Okay, so I don't have pictures of all your pets, but I did have a few pictures of dogs. And so just for my and your enjoyment this morning, we have some pictures of dogs this morning. Okay, can we see them? Yeah, this is on the left. That's Cinnamon, Sugar, and Spice. They're our Spice Girls. We've had them for about 8 years, and we got them from a rescue. They were in a kill shelter in Kentucky. And so we really enjoy Sugar, Cinnamon, and Spice. And the other two big ones are Seraphim sitting back on the chair, and Solomon is the one in the front. And these two make our fifth Rottweilers since we've been married. But just a quick story, Solomon sitting in the front was given to us by Brian and Nancy Pattyfoot. Yeah, they blessed us with him because their cousin brought him up from Texas, and Solomon spent one night in the house, and his name wasn't Solomon then, but we renamed him. But he spent one night in the house, and in the morning, Isabel was just swollen. And that's how they found out Isabel is allergic to dogs. And so Brian called me, and he said, Pastor Janet, I know you really like Rottweilers. Would you like another one? And I'm thinking, okay, I already have four dogs, all right? Well, I asked Leonard, and I said, Leonard, can we get another Rottweiler? Brian's got one to give us. He's free. He said, it's up to you. I said, well, then if it's up to me, it's yes. And so that's how Solomon came to live with us. And he's the biggest dog, and he's the youngest dog of the whole crew there. So, and then we have another picture. And I stole some of these off your Facebook page. This one is Tanya's dogs. Tanya and Sierra, right? Yeah, I don't even know their names. What's their names? Emma's tan and white. The white one is pretty. Carly's the white one, okay. They're so cute. And the other picture is Bella, and she belongs to Vicki Castleman, and Vicki grooms her, and she's just adorable. And then we have another picture. This is Jen and Gabe's, one of their dogs. one of their dogs. This is Esther. She's partying on New Year's, and then she's standing very stately, you know, very dignified. I can't believe I partied so hard. But she's great entertainment for the family, isn't she? And then I think I have one or two more. This is on the left is Cindy's dog, that's Princess. And on the right is Angela's dog, that's Mika. And they were both rescues. And so they're, so I hope you dog lovers are enjoying this. Do I have another picture? Oh, this is Solomon waiting for me to turn on the television. And I always call him my toddler, because you know how toddlers go right in and they look at the screen and they wait for it to come on. And so, Nancy, if you still had Solomon, he'd join right in with the three girls. And he'd be right in the front of the TV watching whatever you had on. So, did I have another one? Oh, I did. The medical term for owning too many dogs is a roverdose. All right, so you're done humoring me. Thank you. So we thank God for the things that we love and the passions that we have for them. Because he gives us that, doesn't he? So once again, point number one, when someone loves something, it is obvious. So when we love God, it should be obvious by the way we live our lives, by the things we do, by the things that we say. And to be a Christ follower is to be in love with God and have that love at the core of who we are. And this means that our actions, our thoughts are dictated by this love. We flow out of that love. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about having God at the center of our lives. So at the center, the love of God flows into everything that we're doing. It should be obvious. Kyle Eidelman said, we love others best when we love God most. And this is true. This is true because God is love, right? And the scripture says he loved us so much, he was willing to send his son to die for us. So he demonstrated his love. So when we are out in the marketplace, when we're in the grocery store, wherever we are, when we're with our family, when we're with get-togethers, we should be a demonstration of God's love. And so often we need renewal in relationships. How many have experienced that sometimes you just need a little renewal, a little refreshing in your relationship? You know, if you don't do that when you're married, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. But Jesus was talking, or the Spirit of the Lord was talking in the book of Revelation to the church of Ephesus. And he was pleased with many things they had done. He praised them for their deeds, their hard work, their perseverance. Praised them for identifying false apostles and protecting their teachings. But after all that praise, God still had an issue with the church. And so we can be doing a whole lot of things right in our life, but we need to be listening to the Spirit of the Lord, because, you know, he'll give us counsel and he will help us grow. You know, he's not condemning us. And so many people think he's looking for something wrong. He wants to just correct you, and that isn't God. God wants to help you grow. Every parent here that has raised a child, you want to help them grow. Is that right? And so you may point out something to them that they need some help on, but it's just to help them grow. So we're going to read what he says in the book of Revelation. To the angel, the church of Ephesus, write, these things say, he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So with all the good things that were going on in Ephesus, they were forgetting something that was very significant, and that was their relationship with the Lord. They had forgotten their first love. So they had neglected the passion that they originally displayed for Jesus. They had lost their zeal. Other things had come in to occupy their affections. And this is a warning for each one of us that we must be careful to not leave our first love. Point number two, a love neglected is a love that's lost. So your relationship with God is very much like a marriage. You know, when a couple first gets married, it's easy to keep the passion alive. It's fresh. Love is fresh. It's exciting. Neither spouse has to work at it very much. But the real test of marriage is in the years of marriage. And for a couple to retain a deep love for one another is for a couple to have healthy practices together. You need open communication, and most of all, you need God in the center and honoring His covenant and being committed to one another and the commitment that you have made, the vows you've taken. And so sometimes when you've been a Christian for a long time, you begin to forget about what it was like, or you don't think about what it was like when you first accepted the Lord. Just think about that a minute, how there was such a refreshing in your life. Regardless of how old you were when that happened, it is a significant moment in your life when the Lord Jesus Christ forgives you for your sins and comes into your heart. There's such a love. You feel His love, and you want to express His love. And so sometimes we drift. We drift. And then we wonder, how in the world did we get to the place that we are at? And so maybe that's because we lost our first love. And so this is where you find yourself. You need that renewed love for God. And when I think about the disciples in the New Testament, Peter may have been the most zealous. He was passionate about following Jesus. And sometimes he's known for acting before he thought. And he always had this quick response. But I believe it was because he loved Jesus so much and he wanted to show him that. So he was right there for him. But you know, before Jesus was crucified, he talked to Peter and he told him that he was going to deny him three times. And it's hard to imagine that Peter would deny him when Peter was always there for him. You would think that he would never do such a thing, and yet he did. And while Jesus was being taken into custody and led to death, three times Peter's accused of being a follower of Jesus, and each time he denies the accusation. He said he does not even know the man. Have you read that in the scripture? So Peter forgot his first love. Out of fear that he might be arrested, probably, he distanced himself from Jesus. And we have a lot of reasons for forgetting our first love, too. Sometimes it's laziness. And sometimes it is because we love what we're doing and we don't want to necessarily give that up now. And sometimes it is because we're disappointed in Jesus, because then things didn't turn out the way we thought they should. But the truth is that, you know, we can really relate to Peter because we know what it's like to love the Lord with all of our heart. We say, I love Him with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. But then there are times that we know we're keeping Jesus at an arm's length. And if you were to look back on the last 24 hours of your life, how much of that day would point to your love for God in the last 24 hours? When you look at a person's priorities, and often they say when you look at a person's checkbook, you're going to know what their greatest love is, what their greatest passion is. That's where you spend your time. That's where you spend your energy. The good news about Peter is that his story doesn't end with being known as denying Jesus, because his love was renewed. And so that gives us hope that we can have renewed love also. So after Jesus was taken to the tomb and the disciples, they just simply went back to fishing. They went back to doing what they were doing before they met up with Jesus. And they were devastated because that Jesus, they thought he was the Messiah and he was dead. And Peter must have been more distraught than any of them, as he had been guilty of denying Jesus' love. But after fishing all night, they have nothing to show for it. And suddenly from the shore, there's this voice, this familiar voice that is calling. And you know, Peter was overjoyed. He recognized that voice. He jumped out of the boat. He got in the water and he swam to shore. And Jesus was cooking breakfast for his disciples. So Jesus, in that opportunity, was offering Peter a second chance. So renewed love is all about second chances. There's no end to the grace of God. And we cannot exhaust the love of God. It's extended to us over and over again. Even though we fail to love God well, time and time again, God is always faithful in his love and commitment to us. So on the beach, Jesus renewed his commitment to Peter and gave Peter the chance to do the same. And we're going to pick up this story right there in John 21, 15 through 17. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love agape me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love phileo, you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." And I put the Greek word in there because we're going to talk about that in a minute. He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love agape me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love phileo, you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love phileo me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love phileo you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." So it's no mistake that Jesus addresses Peter three times, because if you remember, Peter denied him three times. And there's a very important aspect of the story that's lost if you don't understand the Greek words within the conversation between Jesus and Peter. The first two times, Jesus asks Peter if he loves him, and he uses the word agape. And agape love is the highest form of love and is a love that is sacrificial. And both times Peter responds, he affirms his love by using phileo. And phileo love is a brotherly love that exists between close friends. And as Jesus renews Peter's love, Jesus invites Peter to a commitment of love that has only been demonstrated by the death of Jesus on the cross for all people. And Peter responded with a lesser love, as if to recognize his own limitations of loving as fully as he wanted to are as fully as he could. And so the final time Jesus asked Peter's love, he uses the same word that Peter used twice. And the third time, Peter confirms that he loves Jesus with a love that's equal to the question. So in a renewed love with Jesus, he does not demand a love of perfection. We all fall short of the ability to love Jesus the way Jesus has loved us. But he invites us still to love him as much as we can. And so a sincere love is a love that has the ability to grow over time. You may not be living the way that you know that you could live. You may not be loving God the way that you know you should love him, but God does not give up on you. And when your love is sincere, it has the ability to grow. Peter said, "Lord, I love you, but this is where I'm at. You know, I've just denied you three times. I know." Do you remember when Peter said, "I'll die for you. I'll take your place." He was all out there. But when it came right down to it, Peter realized he did not love the Lord as much as he thought he did. But God did not. Look at Jesus. He didn't condemn him. He didn't condemn him. Peter had been condemning himself, and Jesus wanted to set him free of that condemnation, because there is now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So today, Heavenly Father, break the condemnation off of the people who are listening today. Set them free from self-condemnation. And help us, Lord, to love you with a sincere love. And I pray, Father, that our love grows, continues to grow towards you. Somebody say amen. So there's no amount of brokenness in our lives that can keep us from the love of God. Think about that. God's love is so pure. God is love. He is love. And there's no amount of brokenness in our lives that can keep us from the love of God. But if we heap all this condemnation on ourselves, we're the ones that are separating ourselves from God's love, because we have this idea that we're not worthy. We shouldn't accept it. Why would God love me? All these thoughts go through your head, and you have to remember they're your thoughts. They are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God wants to draw close to us. We have this fear because we know we're not doing something right, or he might find something wrong with us. And then we have this fear of him condemning us and executing judgment against us and just cutting us off and scolding us. God will always lovingly disciple us, encourage us. He can't do anything else when God is love. And because he loves us, yes, when you love a child, you correct them. We're his children. We want him to correct us. Don't hide from him. Don't hide from him. Adam and Eve hid from him in the garden because they had sinned. They were ashamed. They were feeling guilty. God doesn't want us to hide ourselves, but you know that's the first thing we do. We'll hide ourselves. We'll isolate ourselves. We won't go to church. We don't want to talk to any Christians. We don't want to let anybody know what's going on in our life. But that is exactly how you are healed and you are strengthened, when you come together with the body of Christ. And you're willing, like Peter admitted to Jesus, I didn't love you like I thought I could. So our love for God can be renewed. And I read a story, and it's from the book called Ragamuffin Gospel. It's an older book. It's a very good book. You might enjoy it, Ragamuffin Gospel. But it was written by Brennan Manning. And he tells about the renewed love to inspire our love for Jesus. And he shares a story from a doctor. And this doctor was a surgeon. And the story starts out, you can't blame the doctor. He did everything possible, yet the damage was irreversible, and goes on to describe removing a tumor from a young woman's cheek. And in the process, the doctor had no option except to sever a tiny nerve controlling the movement of her mouth. As a result, the side of her lip was distorted, sagging noticeably. And Dr. Seltzer entered her room, and with her young husband at her side, she sat in her bed staring in a mirror. Through tears, she asked, "Will my mouth always be like this?" "Yes, it will," he answered. "It is because the nerve was cut." And she nods in silence. But her young husband smiled as if they were the only two people on earth. And he said to her, "I like it. It's kind of cute." And then the doctor observed this. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth. And I am close. I can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate hers, to show her that their kiss still works. So today I invite you to renew your love with God and recommit to a growing, sincere relationship with Him. And here are two practical ways that you can accomplish this. Create a special time and place to spend with God. Choose a location that's free from distractions and just start with a small amount of time. And the second one is take part in random acts of kindness. You can choose to express your love for God by expressing love to someone else. The River of Life, we call it Love in Action. Our church, our ministry has been based upon love in action. You know, you might buy someone's lunch today or help someone in the grocery store line. Many times over this last month, I've been in line and someone's needed just a little bit more money. They're scraping through everything, you know, to find 50 more cents or find another dollar. Just help them out if you've got the money. Or help shovel a neighbor's driveway or their sidewalk out front. Or write a letter, connect with someone who's elderly, who doesn't have family around. And through those acts of service, we discover our love for God as well. Because God is continually doing love in action for us. And so as a demonstration of His love, we do random acts of kindness. On Wednesday night, we got into some discussion about acts of kindness. And many people sitting in the Bible study group, they find joy in serving and helping out other people. And that's God. That is God. We also had a little discussion about Judas and why he went and hanged himself. And as I was studying this lesson this week, I thought, you know what? We talked about the difference between Judas and Peter. Peter loved Jesus. He loved Him. And I believe Judas enjoyed working for Jesus. He was on the business aspect of the partnership with all the disciples. He handled the money. He took care of a lot of things, and he got so caught up in the work that he didn't develop the relationship that we need. So those of you who are in Wednesday night class, that just adds a little bit more onto the revelation and understanding of how we live this new and living way. That we are a demonstration of God's love so that He renews his love in each one of our hearts today. So God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to demonstrate his love for us and to remind us that our love can still work. So take time this week to renew your love with God. And let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this word, Lord, for how you have laid everything out for us in the scripture. Lord, I pray for everyone who listens to this message, for each person that is here under the sound of my voice, that their love for you will be renewed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.